Without the Guru, who will save you from hell? This is the Bhajan Guru Binakana Sahai Narakame on page 176. Mother, father, son, friend, wife, O brother, all have self-interests. In this world, the friend of spirituality is the Satguru, who frees you from attachments. The ocean of the world is very deep, full of suffering, more than the mother's womb. Sitting in the boat of knowledge, you are taken across by the ferryman, the Guru. Erasing birth after birth, the Guru chases away all doubts, and the perfect Parbrahm Parameshwar is revealed within. Accept the Guru's word in your heart and keep devotion and love in your mind. O Brahmanand, do constant seva, and you will get the boon of liberation. Bhajan of Brahmanand on page 176.
Guru Binakana Sahai Narakame. Guru Binakana Sahai Re. Guru Binakana Sahai Narakame. Guru Binakana Sahai Re. Guru Binakana Sahai Narakame. Guru Binakana Sahai Re. Mata Pita Suta Bandavanari Svarata Kesababai Re. Mata Pita Suta Bandavanari Svarata Kesababai Re. Paramarataka Bandhu Jagatame Satguru Bandha Chudai Re. Guru Binakana Sahai Narakame. Guru Binakana Sahai Re. Guru Binakana Sahai Narakame. Guru Binakana Sahai Re. Bhavag Sakar Chale Dusatar Bari Karab Se Dukdai Re. Bhavag Sakar Chale Dusatar Bari Karab Se Dukdai Re. Guru Kevatiya Paralingaki Kyam na jahaja batai re. Guru Binakana Sahai Narakame. Guru Binakana Sahai re. Guru Binakana Sahai Narakame. Guru Binakana Sahai Re. Janam Janam Ka Meta Andera Sansa Sakala Nasai Re. Janam Janam Ka Meta Andera Samsa Sakala Nasai Re. Parabrahma Parameshara Purana Gatame Dedikahi Re. Guru Binakana Sahai Narakame. Guru Binakana Sahai Re. Guru Pinankorna Saha Inarakame Guru Pinankorna Saha Ire Guru Ke Bachana Tare Hire Deme Bhav Bhagati Manala Ire Guru ke bacham na tare hirde me bhav bhagati manala ire brahmananda karunita seva mukesha padarat paire Guru Pinankorna Saha Ninarakame Guru Pinankorna Saha Iri Guru Pinankorna Saha Ninarakame Guru Pinankorna Saha Iri
Accept the Guru's word in your heart. And keep devotion and love in your mind. O Brahmanand, do constant seva, and you will get the boon of liberation. I want to continue reading today in Sanchi's great book, In the Palace of Love. This is one of the pivotal chapters. Actually, it's one of the pivotal statements in Sanma, in my opinion. The creeping of the ego. Very, very basic writing. Very important for us to grasp this. Sanchi says, whenever the saints and mahatmas, the beloveds of God, have come into this world, they have told us about the value of the human body. They have explained to us why God Almighty has given us this human birth, as a result of which good karmas of our past we have been blessed with this gift of the human body. And they have told us how, while sitting within this human body, we have to surrender ourselves to God Almighty and do His devotion. They have also given us information about those elements who are residing within us and misleading us. And they have also told us about those good elements within us which inspire us to do the devotion of God. But they did not only give us that information, they also taught us the way to enter this human body. Furthermore, they not only gave us the information we needed, and they not only taught us how to go into the human body, but they also gave us a promise. If you withdraw your attention from outside and come within to the eye center, we will be there to help you. So whenever saints and mahatmas have come into this world, after telling us the value of this human body, they have inspired us and taught us to go within. And they have very clearly shown us how the bad elements within are misleading us and how the good elements are inspiring us and taking us to the home of the Lord. Mahatma Ravidas Ji says, "These five passions have spoiled my mind. Moment after moment, they have broadened the gap between me and Almighty God." Further, Ravidas Ji says, "These five dacoits or passions have no peace, and they create a fire within us that goes on increasing, no matter how much you give it. Whatever we feed these dacoits, they just want more." Ravidas Ji Maharaj also says, "What to speak of human beings saving themselves from these passions? They have not spared even the animals. Fish, moth, deer, all are ruled by one passion only, and still they are not protected. What hope is there for the human being who has all five in him? The mother of these five dacoits, the intellect, says, your coming into this world will be successful only if you are glorified in this world, if you collect name and fame and praise, and if you are called by the title of religious or community leader. So all these five brothers enter within us, and the leader of the five is the ego. First, the ego creeps within us, and then he opens the door for the other brothers and tells them, you can also come in. In the beginning, they are good. In the beginning, ego tells us, you have the same right to live on this earth as others. You are independent. Your children should also be independent. You should have everything which the other people in this world have. So as he gradually goes on telling such things to the person, and the person starts seeing that scholars and other people get name and fame and praise in all the things of the world, he feels that he should also get all those things, and egoism is created within him. So when he is breeding this egoism, it is just like maintaining a ghost within him. Because once egoism is created, then the jiva is thrown into the frightening forest of this world. Guru Nanak Dev Ji Maharaj says, the yogis perform yoga and still they have ego. They are proud of performing yoga and they say that they are the best people. In the same way, the sannyasis are proud of being renunciates. They say that they have left everything and that is why there is nobody like them. And the pundits are proud of their scholarship. They say, I have read all these Puranas and other holy scriptures, and there's no one like me. Guru Nanak says, ego kills. Egoism throws out whatever good qualities we may have. In the beginning, the ego becomes the cause of little disputes and clashes among family or friends. But it goes on increasing and becomes the cause of fights between countries, and then wars happen. Tulsi Sahib says, it is very easy to give up the desire for gold and silver, and it may be easy to give up the attachment of sex. Some brave ones can do that. But it is very difficult to give up egoism and the desire for name and fame. Kabir Sahib says, the rishis and munis gave up egoism and maya from outside. They left their homes and went in the wilderness to do the devotion of the Lord. But they did not give up their attachment to the maya within. Whatever we have outside is within us also. Whatever we have in the outer world exists in the inner worlds also. The planes through which we have to pass. So Kabir Sahib says, everyone gives up the gross or outer maya, but no one gives up the subtle or inner maya. He who gives up the subtle maya is called sadhu. Guru Nanak Dev Ji Maharaj lovingly says, the reason for your getting involved in the cycle of births and deaths and your suffering in the fire of the womb of the mother is the ego. You are being proud of all this. In Asaji Divar, Guru Nanak says, the jiva comes in egoism, he goes in egoism, he gives in egoism, he receives in egoism. In egoism he is called clever. In egoism he does everything. Guru Arjan Dev has defined egoism as a chronic terminal disease, like tuberculosis. He says the disease of egoism is the share of human beings, as the disease of lust is the share of elephants, the disease of attachment to the pleasure of smell is the share of the honeybees, and the disease of attachment to taste is the share of the fish. And no one can save us from this passion and pleasure. neither our mother nor our father, nor any kingdom or power or ruler can help us or save us from this disease. Guru Nanak says all these five diseases are incurable. If there is anyone who can protect us from these diseases, if there is any doctor who has a remedy for them, that is our master. And only in the company of the sadh and the master can we be protected from and cured of all these diseases. Who can be more foolish than a person whose friend is a doctor and who knows very well that by eating poison he will die, and who still eats poison? Even his doctor friend may not be able to save him once he has eaten the poison. In the same way, if after receiving Nam initiation, going to the satsang, and doing meditation, we are still affected by one of these five diseases, then what will people say? The people who know that we have a perfect master and we are doing meditation, but still we are affected by one or another of these five diseases, what will people say about our master? What will they think about us? The master who has given you initiation will definitely be given a bad name because of your deeds. Many of our dear brothers and sisters who come to see me in the interviews tell me how they have become toys in the hands of the mind, and how the mind is tossing them around and playing with them. Some people say, can we be protected from lust if we wear old people's clothes? Will we be saved from it when we become older? Just imagine what will be their condition. King Bhatteri gave up his kingdom when he came to realize that he should do the devotion of the Lord. He has written that as he was leaving, he saw a dying dog who was very old, who had many wounds and worms in his head, but still he was involved in lust with a bitch, and she was also dying. So King Bhatteri rebuked his mind and said, "O mind, see what you have done to this dog. When you are chasing someone, even if you send one person from your force, one of your elements to anyone, what condition you can reduce that person to, what you can make of that jiva. Look at this dog, what his condition has become. He is dying, but still he is involved in lust." Supreme Father Kripal used to say, if a pigeon closes his eyes when he sees a cat and thinks that the cat cannot see him, after a moment he finds himself in the mouth of the cat. If he had flown away before the cat could catch him, he would have been saved. Our condition is the same. We should not close our eyes in the face of all these passions. We should be wide awake. We should be alert. And we should do the meditation of Shabad Nam. We should fly with the wings of the Shabad Nam before they can attack us, before we fall into their trap. Our body is a true temple, and in this temple there is a well which is full of nectar. These five brothers have entered our body and they are drinking the nectar from that well. Our body has nine doors. When we leave even one door open for them, gradually they enter one by one, and finally all of them enter our body. In ego one comes, in ego one goes, in ego one is born, in ego one dies, in ego one gives, in ego one takes, in ego one earns, in ego one loses. Guru Nanak Dev Ji Maharaj says, the jiva comes in egoism, goes in egoism, takes birth in egoism, and dies in egoism. And if the jiva gives any donation to anyone, then he is proud of that. And if he receives anything from someone, even then he is full of ego. He says, I went there, I got this donation for the school of the temple. This is because of my ability that I was able to get things from him. Nowadays, people even advertise in the newspapers after they have donated. They say that they gave this much land to the school, or they have given so much money to a particular church. I have had the opportunity of visiting many communities and religions, and I have seen that if someone is able to feed a few people, then after giving that donation, he will perform prayers in which he tells Almighty God, I have fed all these people, I have given them these things, I have given them clothes, I have even given them this small vessel. He will list all the things he has done for those people. But Guru Nanak says, without your saying it, he knows everything about you. So why are you praying? Guru Gobind Singh Ji Maharaj has written, Dear one, he knows your thoughts before you have thought them. He even says, God hears the cry of the ant before he hears the cry of the elephant. In ego, one is truthful or a liar. In ego, one thinks about sins and virtues. Only in egoism does the jiva discriminate between sins and virtues. Whatever he does in egoism, even up to this extent. Only in egoism does he become clever or smart. Only in egoism does he become false or untrue. In ego are the incarnations of hells and heavens. In ego one laughs, in ego one weeps. He says, only in egoism one goes to hell or heaven. And in the ego one goes to many places and takes birth. We had a camel who used to balk and to bite the person who took care of him. Even when he had to pull a very heavy plow, still he would walk for 2 steps in a straight line, and then he would go here and there and try to hurt his caretaker. We tried so many things, but still he would not change. We even had him churn a juicer, which was very heavy, but still he would do that in a good way for a couple of minutes, and then he would again rebel and try to bite his caretaker. So I looked at him and I felt very sorry for him. I thought, now you have become dumb and cannot speak. You have become a camel. But still you cannot give up your egoism. And because of your ego, you are doing all this. In ego we sin. In ego we wash it off. In ego, we lose the distinctions of caste and kind. He says the jiva does everything in egoism. If he gives up his religion or caste and adopts some other, even there, egoism doesn't leave him. If he goes to places of pilgrimage and washes away his dirt, still he is proud of having gone to the places of pilgrimage. The foolish and the wise are both within ego. They do not know the importance of liberation. Sane or insane, we are still within the ego. And by following the ego, we do not adopt the practice which leads to our liberation. In ego is Maya. In ego is the shadow. The creatures are created under the influence of the ego. If one understands the ego, he realizes the door. Without the knowledge, one uselessly quarrels. The ego is not a bad thing. If we realize it, understand it, and come to know why it is kept within us, if we recognize its importance and make use of its true meaning, only then can we realize the door to our real home. Nanak says, our destiny is written under his orders. See the world as he sees you. Guru Nanak says, God Almighty has written in our fate, whether we will understand this or not. In whatever way we see the world, God Almighty also looks at us. There was an old woman who worshipped idols. With all her love and devotion, she would burn incense and perform the ritual. One day a thought came to her. Today I will not eat any food until God accepts some part of it. So she sat there with this determination in her mind. She had some milk in a golden cup and some other food also, and she offered them to the idol and sat there waiting for God to accept some part of it. Now God Almighty thought, look at the determination of this woman. You know that idols cannot speak or eat, so how is that idol going to accept any food? But God Almighty was pleased with her devotion, so he came in the form of a very old, crippled man, knocked at her door, and asked her to give him some food. He said, I am in difficulty. I need clothes and food. Why don't you give me something? She replied, I don't have any food. Whatever food I had, I put it in front of this God, and I cannot give you anything unless he accepts part of it. So he went away. Again, God Almighty came in the form of a poor old man, poorer than the other one. And he said, I have pain in my stomach. If you would make me some tea, the pain would go away, and I'll be very grateful to you. She said, I don't have any milk to make tea. I only have the milk which I have placed before God, and unless he accepts part of it, I cannot do anything with it, and I cannot make tea. So he also went away. Now just imagine, if that woman had known that God Almighty resides in every being, in every creature, she would not have refused both those old men, who in fact were God Almighty. She would have given them food and tea, but she did not know that God Almighty resides in every being. She did not have that understanding. That is why she did not oblige. She did not give food to the living God because she was waiting for the idol to accept it. This existence is egoism. Because of the ego, one does karma. The ego is a bond that puts the soul in different bodies again and again. From where is the ego created, and with what efforts does it go? It is the will that because of the ego, one goes on doing and wandering. Egoism is a chronic disease, but within it is its remedy. If the Lord showers his grace, then one meditates on the Shabad of the Master. Nanak says, listen, people. This is the way this pain goes away. Guru Angad Dev was asked, from where is egoism created and how can we get rid of it? He said, egoism is the cause of our births and deaths. It is a sweet and incurable disease. Only if God Almighty showers grace on us, if the Master showers grace on us, can we get the medicine to remove this disease. If God showers grace on us, he brings us to the Master who gives us the meditation of Shabad Nam, by doing which we can become free from this disease. Those content ones who meditate on the truest of all did the seva. Who can do seva? Those who are content. Who is content? Those who do the meditation of Shabad Nam are content because they do not have egoism within them. They do the meditation of the true Nam. They are always truthful. Whatever seva they have been given by the Master, whether it is working in the langar or doing the meditation of Shabad Nam or taking care of the shoes, they do not make any excuses. They do that work lovingly. I have often said that I learned so many things from serving in the army. It all depends upon the experience of a person and upon his understanding. what he is able to learn from serving. The most important thing I learned was the habit of obeying commands. Because in the army, when they give the orders, you are supposed to obey without making any excuses. If they tell you to go and cook the food, you cannot say that the fireplace is not good, or you do not have any wood, or anything like that. You are expected to go and do it. So in the army, I developed this habit of obeying. Because if you make excuses, the officer will get upset at you. He will say, first go and do it, then come and give me the report. Many times when people would not obey, they would be punished or even sent back to their homes. But as you know, I had not joined the army because of my own desire, but because of the government's decision. During the Second World War, they were drafting people in the army, so I also joined. The most important thing that I learned there, as I said before, was to obey the orders of my officers without making any excuses. And that helped me a great deal when I met beloved Master Kripal. Because whatever he told me, I lovingly did that. And as a result, you know that with his grace, I became successful. Papu knows that when people write letters to me, they tell me, we have difficulty in meditation. We have pain in our knees. We cannot sit for a long time. We have this difficulty and that difficulty. And we know what you're going to reply. You will tell us to meditate, and we can't do that. But what can the remedy be except meditation? They do not put their feet on the dirty path. Becoming righteous, they earn virtues. They break away from the attachments of the world. They eat and drink less. O Lord, you bless them with the next world and daily give them more and more here. They realize the great Lord by praising him. A content person does seva. He does the meditation of Shabad Nam. He does not take even one step toward bad deeds. He always does good deeds. He earns his livelihood and he makes his earnings successful and holy by contributing to the Langar. Only with love can he break the attachment to this world. And his diet, his food and drinking is also reduced. Guru Gobind Singh Ji Maharaj says he eats very little. He eats very little, he sleeps very little, and the body of such a sadh becomes holy. By doing the meditation of Nam, he pleases God Almighty. And the glory of God is such that when God blesses him with the treasure of Nam, that Nam doesn't decrease, but goes on increasing. And the greatest glory of that being is that he always manifests, respects, and appreciates his master within him. And I want to conclude this satsang by reading a short writing from Master Kripal. But I would like to comment on a couple of things that Sanchi has said here. First of all, the story about the old woman who worshipped idols. You know, the whole point of the ego. The writing of Kripal, and I'm going to read, will illustrate this further also. The thing about the ego, of course, is that it's unreal. Kripal used to consistently refer to it as the fake ego. It's because of this sense that we are different and separate from everything else that we see everything through that particular prism that creates Maya, which is responsible for the way in which we view the universe, which in turn creates the whole cycle of karma, which is real insofar as we accept it as real. But in the ultimate truth is, as Kripal wrote in The Crown of Life, that creation as such does not exist per se. All of that is the result of the distortion of reality brought about by the sense of our being separate from everything else in the sense that we are what we call an ego, a self, an I. And even the way we understand these things is colored by our inability to see things clearly. And when Sawan Singh has referred to this in his letter when he wrote about the difference between the view of the creation from the bottom up and the top down, that from the bottom up, the way we are, we see everything happening with a purpose. People are doing things and results occur and karma happens and people are paid whatever happens to them is because of what they have done and so forth and so on, and people become happy and become sad and make mistakes and do things right and all that. And whereas from the top, looking from the top down, from the Creator's point of view, he says, from the level of Sach Khand, the whole world appears like bubbles rising and falling in an ocean. And he says, both are right. As long as we are caught up in that, the viewpoint from the bottom up, we cannot say it doesn't exist. We have to rise to the level of which in which we can actually see that it doesn't exist. But the whole point of becoming connected with the Naam, the name of God, the real name of God, which is what Naam means, within us is that that is the opportunity we have been given, the method we have been given, the way out of the illusion, because that Naam is not subject to ego, and that is within us, and it is the only thing within us that is not subject to ego. And that is why she did not give food to the living God, because she was waiting for the idol to accept it. To me, that sentence sums up everything about the way we ordinarily live in the world. We don't give food to the living God because we keep on waiting for the idol to accept it. That's the, you know, the first of the Ten Commandments too. You shall have no other gods before me, and yet we have all the time, you know. It's everywhere we turn, we are giving food to the idol and ignoring the living God. The idea that, as was said earlier, that, you know, yogis practice yoga and they're proud of it. And I could add that satsangis practice meditation. They go within a little ways and get some experience, and they become proud of that too. You know, I've often told the story of our first trip to India. After the World Religions Conference was over, Master Kripal held a big tea party at Sawan Ashram, and all the delegates were invited. And that included a great number of yogis and sadhus and Muslim clergymen and, of course, all the delegates who came from the West, including Judith and me. There were a number of satsangis, but most of the delegates were not satsangis. I said how this particular yogi, his name was Suryadev, whom I had been observing all week because he seemed to have a great deal of power, but he was also kind of creepy. I didn't like him much, and I watched him, but I avoided him. I didn't want to get too close to him. His eyes were very, I don't know, I didn't want to be around him. And he lost his temper. And he really, really lost his temper. He had a lot of temper to lose, and he just exploded all over the tea party. And this is, you know, I mean, there are a ton of people here on the grounds of Sawan Ashram, on the lawn of the guest house lawn. All of a sudden, there's this guy absolutely in a rage, foaming at the mouth, literally. I've never seen anyone in such a rage. And everyone is backing away from him. It's like he's the center of a big vacuum. And Master came over, Master saw him, and I'm staring open-mouthed, and Master comes over, unhurried, just walks over to him, puts his arm around him, and with his other hand, puts his hand on his head, down over his face, like that, and down, you know, with some force, down over his chest and stomach down to his waist, just like he was opening up a faucet, and the anger just drained out of the guy, and he was as calm as anything. The master hugged him and let him go, and I was something to watch. It was a sight to see. I had many, many thoughts and questions about that. And a couple of days later, I had an opportunity to talk to the master, and I asked him. It was clear to me that that particular yogi had achieved something. He had some power. I said, why then was he able to fail in such a spectacular way? And master looked at me and he said, ego is the last thing to go. Whatever you achieve within, before ego goes, only goes to strengthen the ego. That is, you know, explains so much to me. It explains why, for one thing, the master does not take us all up right away and show us everything the way we would like to have it. You know, as long as that sense of I-hood, sense of I am going to do this, I am going to experience this, and then I can talk about it to others and impress everyone with how spiritual I am and all like that, and I have tons of power to lose my temper with, and so forth and so on. Master isn't going to do that, you know. That isn't going to happen like that. First, we have to put the ego in its proper place and rise above it. Then we can experience all these things. But it can be done. It can be done because we are not the doers. Anyway, I want to read short writing of Master Kripal called The Cage of the Soul. This is actually chapter 8 of the book The Ambrosial Hour, in which Master comments on a number of things that we have been considering. He says, man has got himself so enmeshed in mind and the outgoing faculties that his release from them can only be brought about by struggle and perseverance. His plight is, in a way, similar to that of a bird that has been kept in a cage for so many years. Even if you should open the door of the cage, the bird will be loath to fly out. Instead, it will fly from one side of the cage to the other, clinging with its talons to the wire mesh. But it does not wish to be free and fly out through the open door of the cage. Similarly, the soul has become so attached to the body and the outgoing faculties that it clings to outside things and does not wish to let go of them. It does not wish to fly through the door that has been opened by the Master at the time of holy initiation, at the threshold of which the radiant form of the Master is patiently waiting to receive the child disciple. True discipleship does not start until one has risen above body consciousness. It is from this point that the disciple will feel not only comfort, but will begin to experience the joy and bliss that awaits him in the beyond. He will have as his companion the charming, radiant form of the Master, who is ever at hand to impart the guidance that is so necessary in order to avoid the pitfalls on the way. Until this point is reached, the disciple is, as it were, on probation, but such probation that cannot be severed. It is during this probationary period that the soul will feel some discomfort. It has become so besmeared with the dirt of the senses that it has lost its original purity of heart and is not fit to be raised up out of the prison house of the body. Even though the door has been opened, it is so attached to the things of the outside world that it does not wish to be free. It is only when the soul begins to regain its original purity of heart and mind that it can at last want to be free of the desires of the flesh and outward attachments. The loving master tries to avoid all possible discomfort to the child disciple by explaining what are the vices to be avoided and the virtues to be developed in order to regain this purity. Unfortunately, more often than not, the words of the master do not sink in, and little or no action is taken by the disciple to amend his ways. Therefore, the master power must take firmer measures to bring home to the disciple the importance of the truths that have been explained in words. Hence the discomfort that is sometimes felt by the dear ones in their day-to-day living. If implicit obedience would be given to the commandments of the master, all difficulties and discomforts would vanish. If a child gets itself so dirty that the only way the mother can wash it clean is by using a scrubbing brush, can it be said that the child will feel comfortable during the scrubbing process? It will only feel comfortable after the scrubbing has ceased and it is shining clean and pure. Help and protection is always extended by the master to his followers. He looks after their comforts in every way, both outer and inner, even the effects of the reactions of the past, from the gallows to an ordinary pinprick. So much concession is given. As the mother sacrifices everything for the sake of her child, even so does the master sacrifice everything for the sake of his children. The follower, in fact, does not dream of what the master does for him. He fills his followers with his own thought, with his own life impulses. When we remember him, he remembers us with all his heart and soul. He is not the body. He is the Word personified, the Word made flesh. To get the full benefit of the master power, the disciple must develop receptivity. It is impossible to develop receptivity until implicit obedience is given to the commandments of the master. When you pay heed to the master's commandments, then that is a sign that you are growing in love for him. And the more you grow in love for him, the more receptivity you will develop. When you begin to develop this receptivity, all discomfort will vanish, and you will truly begin to tread the path in the firm assurance that you are on the right way, together with the loving companionship of one who will demonstrate more and more his greatness and his power on each step of the way, until you find that it is the very God himself who is your guide and mentor, who will never leave you until he has safely escorted you back to the true home of the Father. While on the way, one of the main functions of the Master is to wind up the bad karmas of the disciple. It is through conscious contact with the sound current only that the karmas of back lives can be burnt away. This process is started at the time of holy initiation, at which time the disciple is given a contact with the light and sound principle, or God into expression power. To avoid opening a new account of bad deeds, the disciple is enjoined to lead a clean life and weed out all imperfections in him by self-introspection from day to day. This is the sublime principle behind keeping the diary, which the disciple is asked to maintain in order to become aware of the shortcomings which stand in his way to God. Ego is the self-assertive principle in man that makes him feel that I do this or I do that. When one rises above body consciousness and knows himself and becomes a conscious co-worker of the divine plan, he sees that he is not the doer, but is a mere puppet in the hands of God. He will cease to be responsible for his actions and will become Jivan Mukta, or a free soul. The ego in man is part of the grand delusion that he is laboring under. It will cease to act or will be nullified only when a great degree of purity has been attained by the disciple, in which all of his actions will reflect the Master in him. Like Christ, he will proclaim, "I and my Father are one."
ਪਹਿਲਾਂ ਤੋਂ ਹੀ ਉਹ ਹੀ ਆ ਕੇ ਸ਼ਬਦ ਨਾਮ ਦਾ ਦਾਨ ਪ੍ਰਾਪਤ ਕਰਦੇ ਹੈ ਔਰ ਉਹ ਹਮੇਸ਼ਾ ਹੀ ਜੁੜੇ ਰਹਿੰਦੇ ਹੈ ਸ਼ਬਦ ਨਾਮ ਦੀ ਕਮਾਈ ਦੇ ਕਰਦੇ ਹੈ
He says that only those who have come in the selection of God from the very beginning, they come and take the gift of Shabad Naam, and only they remain in touch or in the connection of Shabad Naam and they meditate on it.
ਤੂੰ ਸੱਚਾ ਸਾਹਿਬ ਸੱਚ ਹੈ ਸੱਚ ਸੱਚਾਂਗੋ ਸਾਈ
ਹੁਣ ਗੁਰੂ ਰਾਮਦਾਸ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਆ ਕਿ ਹੇ ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਤੂੰ ਸੱਚਾ ਹੈ ਸੱਚ ਤੋਂ ਮਤਲਬ ਜਿਹੜਾ ਕਦੇ ਨਾਸ ਨਹੀਂ ਹੁੰਦਾ ਫਨਾ ਨਹੀਂ ਹੁੰਦਾ ਗਾ ਆ ਜਗਾ ਤੂੰ ਤੁਰਿਆ ਆਉਣਾ ਹੈ
ਗੁਰੂ ਰਾਮਦਾਸ ਜੀ ਸੇ ਦੈਟ ਓ ਲਾਰਡ ਯੂ ਆਰ ਟਰੂ ਟਰੂ ਮੀਨਸ ਔਰ ਦ ਟਰੁੱਥ ਮੀਨਸ that thing which never perishes, which never destroys, and which is existing from the very beginning. He says that you are prevailing or you are existing even before this creation was created, and after that also, and now also you exist.
Toh sab da data hai, sab da swami hai.
You are the giver of everybody, you give things to everybody, and you are the lord or the master of everybody.
ਤੁਦਨੁ ਸਭ ਹੈ ਧਿਆਇ ਦੀ ਸਭ ਲਗੈ ਤੇਰੀ ਪਾਈ
ਹੁਣ ਆਪ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਸਭ ਤੇਰੀ ਭਗਤੀ ਕਰਦੇ ਹੈ ਤੈਨੂੰ ਸਲਾਉਂਦੇ ਹੈ ਜੋ ਸਲਾਉਂਦੇ ਹੈ ਉਹੀ ਅੱਛੇ ਹੈ ਉਹੀ ਆਪਦੇ ਘਰ ਪਹੁੰਚ ਜਾਂਦੇ ਹੈ
Now he says that all those who appreciate you and those who sing your praise and those who do your devotion, only they are good. And those who do all these things, they reach back or they reach to their home.
ਪਸ਼ੂ ਪੰਛੀ ਵੀ ਆਪੋ ਆਪਣੀ ਜਵਾਨ ਦੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਉਸ ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਦਾ ਸ਼ੁਕਰੀਆ ਕਰਦੇ ਹੈ.
Even the animals and the birds express their gratitude and thank God in their own ways and in their own language.
ਫਰੀਦ ਸਾਹਿਬ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਆ ਹਉ ਬਲਿਹਾਰੀ ਤਨ ਪੰਛੀਆਂ ਜੰਗਲ ਜਿੰਨਾ ਵਾਸ ਕੱਕਰ ਕੰਕਰ ਚੁਗਨ ਥਲ ਵਸਣ ਰੱਬ ਨਾ ਛੋੜਨ ਪਾਸ
ਫਰੀਦ ਸਾਹਿਬ ਸੇ ਦੈਟ ਆਈ ਸੈਕਰੀਫਾਈਸ ਮਾਈਸੈਲਫ ਔਨ ਦੋਸ ਬਰਡਸ ਦੋਸ ਹੂ ਲਿਵ ਇਨ ਦ ਔਨ ਦ ਬ੍ਰਾਂਚਸ ਆਫ ਦ ਟ੍ਰੀ ਇਨ ਦ ਫੋਰੈਸਟ ਐਂਡ ਦੋਸ ਹੂ ਈਟ ਫੂਡ ਦੋਸ ਹੂ ਗੋ ਔਨ ਸਰਚ ਦੋਸ ਸਰਚ ਫਾਰ ਦ ਫੂਡ ਫਰੋਮ ਦ ਗਰਾਊਂਡ ਐਂਡ ਦੋਸ ਹੂ ਸਫਰ ਸੋ ਮਚ ਬਟ ਸਟਿਲ ਦੇ ਡੋਂਟ ਗਿਵ ਅਪ ਦ ਹੋਪ ਆਫ ਗੋਡ ਐਂਡ ਦੋਸ ਹੂ ਡੋਂਟ ਫੋਰਗੇਟ ਗੋਡ
ਅਸੀਂ ਰੋਜ਼ ਹੀ ਦੇਖਦੇ ਹਾਂ ਸਾਥੋਂ ਪਹਿਲਾਂ ਪੰਛੀ ਉੱਡਦੇ ਹੈ ਉਹ ਆਪੋ ਉੱਠਦੇ ਹੈ ਆਪੋ ਆਪਣੀ ਬੋਲੀਆਂ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਉਹ ਬੰਦਿਆਂ ਤੋਂ ਪਹਿਲਾਂ ਹੀ ਬੋਲ ਉੱਠਦੇ ਹੈ
ਵੀ ਨੋ ਦੈਟ ਦ ਬਰਡਸ ਵੇਕ ਅਪ ਬਿਫੋਰ ਅਸ ਅਰਲੀ ਇਨ ਦ ਮਾਰਨਿੰਗ ਐਂਡ ਦੇ ਸਟਾਰਟ ਸਪੀਕਿੰਗ ਔਰ ਦੇ ਸਟਾਰਟ ਸਿੰਗਿੰਗ ਦ ਪ੍ਰੇਜ਼ ਆਫ ਗੋਡ ਇਨ ਦੇਅਰ ਓਨ ਲੈਂਗੁਏਜਸ ਐਂਡ ਇਨ ਦੇਅਰ ਓਨ ਵੌਇਸ
ਇੱਕ ਪਾਸੇ ਇਨਸਾਨ ਅੱਛੇ ਖਾਣੇ ਖਾਂਦਾ ਹੈ ਉਹ ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਦਾ ਸ਼ੁਕਰ ਗੁਜ਼ਾਰ ਨਹੀਂ ਹੁੰਦਾ ਗਾ ਅਗਰ ਉੱਠਦਾ ਵੀ ਹੈ ਤੇ ਪਤਾ ਨਹੀਂ ਕਿਤਨੇ ਕੁ ਆਸਾਨ ਕਰਦਾ ਹੈ ਕਦੇ ਕਹਿੰਦਾ ਗੋਡੇ ਦੁਖਦੇ ਆ ਗਿੱਟੇ ਦੁਖਦੇ ਆ ਕਦੇ ਕੁਛ ਲੇਕਿਨ ਪੰਛੀਆਂ ਨੂੰ ਫਰੀਦ ਸਾਹਿਬ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਆ ਕਿ ਉਹ ਵਿਚਾਰੇ ਕਿਸ ਤਰ੍ਹਾਂ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਨੂੰ ਅੱਛਾ ਖਾਣਾ ਵੀ ਨਹੀਂ ਮਿਲਦਾ ਗਾ ਫਿਰ ਵੀ ਉਹ ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਦੀ ਯਾਦ ਵਿੱਚ ਸਭ ਤੋਂ ਪਹਿਲਾਂ ਸੁਨੇਹਾ ਉੱਠਦੇ ਆ
ਔਨ ਦੀ ਅਦਰ ਸਾਈਡ ਦ ਮੈਨ ਹੈਜ਼ ਬੀਨ ਗਿਵਨ ਮੈਨੀ ਥਿੰਗਸ ਮੈਨੀ ਕੰਫਰਟੇਬਲ ਥਿੰਗਸ ਹੀ ਈਟਸ ਮੈਨੀ ਗੁੱਡ ਥਿੰਗਸ ਬਟ ਵੈਨ ਹੀ ਹੈਜ਼ ਟੂ ਗੈਟ ਅਪ ਇਨ ਦ ਮਾਰਨਿੰਗ ਹੀ ਮੇਕਸ ਮੈਨੀ ਐਕਸਕਿਊਜ਼ਸ ਹੀ ਸੇਜ਼ ਦੈਟ ਮਾਈ ਬਾਡੀ ਇਜ਼ ਨਾਟ ਫੀਲਿੰਗ ਓਕੇ ਆਈ ਐਮ ਹੈਵਿੰਗ ਪੇਨ ਇਨ ਮਾਈ ਨੀਜ਼ ਐਂਡ ਲਾਈਕ ਦੈਟ And he finds many excuses for not doing the meditation. So that is why Farid Sahib said that even the birds, those who get up early in the morning and remember the name of Lord, they are better than the man, those who don't get up in the morning and sit in the remembrance of God.
Teri sifat sawalyo sarup hai Yene kiti te sapare langa
ਹੁਣ ਆਪ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਆ ਹੇ ਸਤਿਗੁਰੂ ਹੇ ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਤੇਰੀ ਸਿਫਤ ਬੜੀ ਸੁੰਦਰ ਹੈ ਬੜੀ ਸੋਹਣੀ ਹੈ ਜੋ ਤੇਰੀ ਸਿਫਤ ਕਰਦੇ ਹੈ ਉਹ ਪਾਰ ਪੈ ਜਾਂਦੇ ਚਲੇ ਜਾਂਦੇ ਹੈ ਉਹ ਦੁਨੀਆਂ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਨਹੀਂ ਅੜਕ ਦੇਗੇ ਔਰ ਉਹ ਦੁਨੀਆਂ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਨਹੀਂ ਫਸਦੇਗੇ
Now he says that, O Sadhguru, O Lord, your praise or your glory is very beautiful. And those who appreciate you, those who sing your glory or praise, they never remain in this world. They become detached from this world and they get liberated.
Mahatma sanu samjhaunde hai ke sirf asita di satguru di kar sakde hain agar sada us naal pyar hai, mohabbat hai, nahi ta assi duniya di siftan de vich lagge hoye hain kyunki duniya na sada pyar hai, duniya ne saath nahi jana.
Mahatmas tell us that we can sing the praise of the master and sing his glory and appreciate him only if we have love for the master. But since we don't have enough love for the master, that is why instead of appreciating the existence of the master in this world, we appreciate the existence of the worldly things because we are in the love with the worldly things.
Gurmukhanu phale painda sach naam sama
ਹੁਣ ਗੁਰਮੁਖ ਉਸ ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਦੀ ਉੱਠਦੇ ਬਹਿੰਦੇ ਸੁੱਤੇ ਜਾਗਦੇ ਸਿਫਤ ਕਰਦੇ ਹੈ ਇਸ ਵਾਸਤੇ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਨੂੰ ਉਸ ਸਿਫਤ ਦਾ ਕੀ ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਇਨਾਮ ਦਿੰਦਾ ਹੈ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਨੂੰ ਆਪਣੇ ਘਰ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਨਿਵਾਸ ਦਿੰਦਾ ਹੈ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਨੂੰ ਸ਼ਾਬਾਸ਼ ਦਿੰਦਾ ਹੈ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਨੂੰ ਗਲੇ ਲਾਉਂਦਾ ਹੈ ਪਿਆਰ ਕਰਦਾ ਹੈ
Now Gurumukhs appreciate and sing the praise of Sadguru the Master always whether they are asleep or awake whether it is day or night or whether they are doing anything, they always go on singing the praise, the songs of the praise of the Master. And what do they get from God? What is the reward which God gives to them? God loves them, God embraces them, God welcomes them to His home, and God honors them. This is what they get from God when they appreciate Him.
Vade mere sahiba
ਹੁਣ ਆਪ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਤੂੰ ਸਭ ਤੋਂ ਵੱਡਾ ਹੈ ਸਭ ਦਾ ਦਾਤਾ ਹੈ ਤੇਰੀ ਵਡਿਆਈ ਵੀ ਵੱਡੀ ਹੈ ਜੋ ਤੇਰੀ ਵਡਿਆਈ ਕਰਦੇ ਹੈ ਉਹ ਵੀ ਵੱਡੇ ਹੋ ਜਾਂਦੇ ਹੈ
Now he says that since you are the giver and donor of life to everybody and you give things to everybody in this world that is why your glory or your praise is great and those who sing your praise and those who sing your glory they also become great
ਹੁਣ ਗੁਰੂ ਰਾਮਦਾਸ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਆ ਨਾਮ ਤੋਂ ਬਗੈਰ ਸ਼ਬਦ ਤੋਂ ਬਗੈਰ ਗੁਰੂ ਦੀ ਵਡਿਆਈ ਤੋਂ ਬਗੈਰ ਜੋ ਕੁਛ ਵੀ ਅਸੀਂ ਦੁਨੀਆਂ ਨੂੰ ਸਲਾਹ ਰਹੇ ਹਾਂ ਜਾਂ ਗੱਲਾਂ ਕਰ ਰਹੇ ਹਾਂ ਉਹਦੇ ਨਾਲ ਕੀ ਹੈ ਸਾਡਾ ਮੂੰਹ ਵੀ ਫਿੱਕਾ ਤਨ ਵੀ ਫਿੱਕਾ ਉਹਦਾ ਸਵਾਦ ਜੋ ਕੁਛ ਆਉਂਦਾ ਉਹ ਵੀ ਫਿੱਕਾ ਹੀ ਹੈ
Now Guru Ramdas ji says that whatever appreciation we have for the worldly things or whatever things we praise in the world we do not get any taste of it if we do not praise the master if we do not praise and sing the glory of the meditation if we do not involve ourselves in that we do not get any taste from the worldly things because all the worldly things are tasteless
mane mukh
The closing bhajan is on page 154 dan dan satguru hail hail to my satguru who reunites the separated ones I have seen the master who is exactly like what I had heard of him. He reunites the separated ones. He saves the soul at the court of God and reunites the separated ones. He makes us meditate on the name of God. He cuts the disease of ego and reunites the separated ones. Nanak says, God makes those meet the Satguru whose union is preordained from Sachkhand. He reunites the separated ones. Hail, hail to my Satguru who reunites the separated ones. Bhajan of Guru Arjan Dev on page 154.
ਧੰਨ ਧੰਨ ਸੱਚ ਗੁਰੂ ਮੇਰਾ ਜਿਹੜਾ ਵਿਛੜਿਆ ਨੂੰ ਮੇਲਦਾ ਧੰਨ ਧੰਨ ਸੱਚ ਗੁਰੂ ਮੇਰਾ ਜਿਹੜਾ ਵਿਛੜਿਆ ਨੂੰ ਮੇਲਦਾ ਜ Jesa Satguru Sunida. Jesa Satguru Sunida. Teso hi me dit jeda vichere anu melada. Teso hi me dit jeda vichere anu melada. Dan dan satguru mera jeda vichere anu melada. Dan dan satguru mera jeda vichere anu melada. Vichere amele prabhu. Vichere amele prabhu. Har darga kabasit jeda vichere anu melada. Har darga kabasit jeda vichere anu melada. Dan dan satguru mera jeda vichere anu melada. Dan dan satguru mera jeda vichere anu melada. Har namo mantra der daeda. Har namo mantra der daeda. Kate home roga jeda vichere anu melada. Kate home roga jeda vichere anu melada. Dan dan satguru mera jeda vichere anu melada. Dan dan satguru mera jeda vichere anu melada. Nanak satguru tina milaya. Nanak satguru tina milaya. Jinduro pia sanjoga jeda vichere anu melada. Jinduro pia sanjoga jeda vichere anu melada. Dan dan satguru mera jeda vichere anu melada. Dan dan satguru mera jeda vichere anu melada.
Hail, hail to my Satguru, who reunites the separated ones. May God bless us all.